Be sure to subscribe to the Front Row Knowles podcast and follow at Front Row Knowles on Twitter. Now back to @_TomBlock and Twitterless Keith Jones. Yes, you heard us right, in the Prime Meridian Bank studios.
On Front Row Knowles, thanks to Patrick Burnham from the Osceola for joining us. He's our offensive line guru. I don't know that it takes a guru, though, to assess, Keith, that the OL play has not been where Florida State needs it right now. Alex Atkins met the media on Tuesday, and he was asked if he's ever had an offensive line have this many guys go out, and the basic answer was, no, I don't think I have. He's having to shuffle the deck. And Keith, we've talked about this. When a guy goes down and you have to move three guys around to fill in, that in a nutshell sums up where your offensive line is from a depth standpoint.
There are those that are legitimately critical of some of the comments that Coach Norvell has made relative to, you know, the 30,000 foot level where he said, you know, I want offensive linemen that can play multiple positions. And there have been some folks that have kind of latched on to that and said that that's a bad philosophy. You need to recruit tackles, and then you recruit centers and you recruit guards. You know, probably a question we ought to ask Pat sometime in the future going forward. But I don't think that has ended up being the problem, because if he didn't have kids that could play multiple positions, where would we be now given all that? So I don't know what the right macro answer is, but I knew though there's been some people that have latched onto that and been very, very critical of Mike. And I don't think that's a fair criticism, at least not in the second year.
Well, they just don't have the depth there. And when you come out and you say, yeah, we got seven or eight guys we feel good about, and one's not on the team, and two of them have been hurt. One of them's playing, but he's not the same guy he was last year. Well, all of a sudden, seven or eight is three or four, and you need five on an offensive line. So what Atkins talked about this week is that they haven't just had guys running free, and that's true thus far. I mean, they've been better in terms of getting a hat on a guy, but that doesn't mean they've been better in terms of pass blocking overall. I mean, there's still issues. I want to go back to what we were talking about with Pat, though, Keith, because I am concerned about the short yardage lack of success for Florida State. Can this FSU team, I mean, certainly if you're going to choose between pass and run as an identity, you're going to choose run, because they're not a very good passing team. But I'm not convinced if you sell out and say, we're just going to run the football two out of three downs, that the opposing team can't stop you.
Well, two things. Number one, we've seen at the professional level, at the NFL, that going with the jumbo packages, bringing three tight ends in, bringing the extra tackle in, bringing a defensive tackle in to be the fullback on short yardage or goal line situations, has kind of become the norm. And so, you know, generally speaking, Norvell's offense is a lot more spread out. Dillingham likes to mix things up. But trying to find a way to go to the jumbo package or go into what you are identifying as a short yardage situation and just concede that we're going to put personnel in there, and you know we're going to run, and we're going to tell you we're going to run, and just go mano-a-mano and make it happen, might be something they've got to start looking at. You know, I know another thing that happens is that, you know, depending on what degree of authority or how you let the quarterback make calls, you know, you can get up there and call the same play either way and let the quarterback make the decision as which direction you're going relative to how the defense lines up. I have no clue. We've not asked. We've not been told whether they are calling the play and running the play or whether they're calling two plays and the quarterback's making the decision. And sometimes it's a bad decision. Those are questions we haven't gotten to ask yet, much less gotten the answers for.
It's a twofold issue, Keith, because you want the offense to stay on the field so they can score some points. But there's also the just get a first down so you can take two more minutes off the clock before the defense goes back out there and play some complimentary football. Right now, it's the opposite of complimentary football. I mean, it's three and out. The defense was on the field for 20 minutes. No matter how improved they may or may not be, if the time of possession is that out of whack, it's going to show up later in the ballgame.
Time of possession, the number of plays, what was it, 89 to 51, something of that nature.
Yeah, and maybe it's more the plays than the time of possession. I mean, if you're being asked to stop that many, it's too many.
I do know, and this is a factual statement, and Adam addressed it in the Monday press conferences, they had reasonable success on, three and outs and turnovers. They from a statistical standpoint, the defense performed adequately. So there is some measure of sudden change and some measure of not getting the rest where they have at least performed better than average. But when you're down, 14 points or you're down 21 points, not only do you want to get the ball back to your offense, you want to try to create some turnovers. And, all that feeds into the same equation.
How do you play defensively this week? The DBs have not been good in man, but Florida State has not been a good zone team, as you've pointed out, for a couple of years. Now you've got a really mobile quarterback. It seems scary to think that if they run the cornerback down the field in man coverage and his back is turned, that's a 27-yard gain for the quarterback before you take a breath.
I think with Malik Cunningham, you've got to play zone. And I know people have been absolutely critical, particularly in the Jacksonville State, of what's called five under, where you're playing man coverage underneath with two safeties over the top. But when you do want to try to pressure, that is, in my opinion, a formula that can work. You may give up some gash plays, but hopefully you won't give up the long touchdown plays. But in answer to your question, Florida State's got to play a lot more zone. And I think you've got to pull out your zone blitz packages and find some ways to get linebackers or even a safety, coming and having, awareness of run support, but putting pressure on that quarterback to make him get that ball out of there, much quicker than he wants to. But, the long answer shortly is you're going to have to play more zone than you're used to.
This week, as a reminder, Florida State won't have Sidney Williams for the first half as a result of that targeting call in the second half last week. Keith, I want to opine about targeting and how the NCAA officiates it right now.
This will be a first.
Ahead. Yeah, I'm not going to go to that. You can just queue up last week's show at about the same point, and you can hear my thoughts on that. Although that was a targeting call. Let's go back to offense. I agree with what Pat said in terms of the Wildcat. And I don't know if this is how they'll go, but if McKenzie is your starter in your red zone offense, in your short yardage situation, you could bring Travis in there as opposed to the Wildcat from the standpoint that he could run it, he could hand it off, or he could throw it. Whereas right now what we've seen with Corbin, he's going to tote the football. What do you think?
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Now, when you've got an offensive line that can hold their own, where you're not worried about, the threat of the pass and how that affects the defense, you're just going to line up and get your 2 or 3 yards, then I see that too. But I agree with you. You've got to run. You've got to have the threat of the pass in short yardage situations, or they're just going to stack the box and Florida State's offensive line can't handle it.
What looks different to you about Jordan this year in terms of how he's running the football or not running the football?
The thing that jumps out at me is his lack of creativity in throwing the ball down the field. I mean, I think they've got him so worried about sliding or getting out of bounds that he's lost that recklessness that was so much to his advantage. And he's thinking too much. And when he gets outside, instead of just slinging the ball, he's trying to aim it. I mean, I don't know what the coaches have said to him, but that is what appears to be the case to me. I could be entirely wrong. But in other words, he is thinking too much and not just reacting as he did last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if that's what's happened, it's because he knows he got dinged a lot last year. And so right. It's a conversation about protecting yourself, getting down, get out of bounds, do those sorts of things so you don't take as many hits. And yet here we are 3 games in, and he hasn't finished any of the 3 games, the first and the third, I think because he was dinged. The second one may be coach's decision. Point being, you're getting the same thing as rearing its ugly head. To me, we haven't seen the high side of what he brings from a running standpoint to me, at least not yet this year.
Well, just reflect back on the Boston College game last year. I mean, it looked like he was a man amongst boys. He was decisive. He was quick. He was strong. He wasn't thinking. He was just reacting. And, you know, that unfortunately is apparently left him or not a part of what he is anymore, or he needs to get it back because that's when he is most dangerous.
You mean the BC game 2 years ago when he burst on the scene? The
one Yes, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. My bad.
Yeah, but even last year, I mean, he had the 90-yard run against Pitt. He smoked North Carolina in that big first half. We haven't seen those kind of – his longest run is like a 20-yard scramble against Notre Dame when the whole left side of the field opened up, you know. So we haven't seen the same thing that he brings to the table. I don't know. Milton clearly didn't have a good week last week. We're talking a lot about his leg, rightly so, but – There's got to be a rust component in there, too. He's basically played two football games now, if you added up the snaps, in 3 years, right? Plus some spring. So some of that might be shaking off some rust, not just the leg situation.
Well, two things, and I've not had the chance to spend any time with him, so I may be completely mistaken, but I cannot help but believe that his leg is not 100%, i.e., he started using it now. And he's been hit on a little bit. And I liken the comparison, you know, that we've made sometimes with basketball players. You know, when a basketball player tweaks his ankle or tweaks his knee and he's a real finesse type of shooter and that type of thing, it just throws the game completely off for them. So he's now having to play. Milton is now probably having to play with a leg that's bothering him. I'm not saying it's injured, not even saying it's hurt. I'm just saying, you know, it's not 100%. So it's in the back of his mind. And then secondly, he's a very smart player. And sometimes that game awareness and that perception, I mean, there's no way that he throws that interception that he threw moving right to left. I forget what quarter it was. If he's not pressing, because he just doesn't make those kinds of decisions unless he is trying to do too much. So I think you put both of those together, and that may explain why we're not seeing all the things that we saw in the spring in terms of his command of the game and those types of things. And that's something he's just going to have to work through. That's part of football. Once you're back into the day in and day out thing.
I know the way the Jacksonville State game turned out, but the first drive, the two throws he made back-to-back, which I said at the time, they were tremendous. And the one that was dropped by Malik McClain that preceded the drop by Helton, that was the same throw that he hit in the spring game over the DB to McClain. And we all looked and thought, man, he can do that. And he repeated it, but the receiver dropped it two in a row. So, and he probably had five or six drops. And I mean, again, we can play the what-if game. But his numbers look better if the receivers don't drop him in the Jacksonville State game. Now, that doesn't change anything in Wake Forest necessarily, but there's other blame to go around, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, again, the point simply being, you know, we're now in the third game, bumps and bruises and thought processes and coaches' criticism and missed opportunities and all of that goes in. And you've got to be able to, as Jimbo used to say, you got to take the clutter and get rid of it and stay focused on the things that you need to be focused on. And he hasn't done that for 1,013 days or whatever that account was. He'll get better at it. He's a competitor, but he's having to go through, as you mentioned, and I think it's very apropos, he's having to go through knocking some of the rust off.
Okay, let's talk defense in our next segment, Keith. You called for more zone defense here. We're going to explain why that may or may not be a good idea for Florida State when we come back on Front Row Knowles. Stay with us.
Fall into savings at Hobson Chevrolet Buick in Cairo, Georgia. Football season's finally here, the weather's great, and the deals are great. You got to come check out our great selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Interest rates have never been lower, and you'll never get more for your trade than right now. So with the best financing available, you can't lose. And don't forget to come see us for all your service and parts needs. Come see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy your Chevrolet the Hobson way.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent auto owner's agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. And by the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Now back to Tom and Keith.
All right, Keith, you were a defender for Florida State. You're a defensive guy. You know this, and you pointed it out. I understand why you would call for more zone defense. I think everybody understands that when you see guys getting beat in man-to-man and when you're playing a mobile quarterback and you don't want to turn his back on him. But where is Florida? Florida State has been deficient in zone coverage for a number of years. I mean, we were talking about this with Harlan Barnett, probably with Charles Kelly. It feels like, and maybe it's because they spend more time playing man, but it's not like zone is necessarily a great remedy.
Well, the biggest criticism I've had over the last few years is that there seems to be, I'm not there, we'd have to ask, but there seems to be some confusion or thought that when you're in zone, you run to a spot and you stand there. And that's not what zone defense is. Zone defense is you're running to your spot, but as soon as somebody comes into your area, you move to him. And occasionally you're going to make some bad calls and somebody's going to beat you, but there'll be safeties and others behind you. But it makes no sense to run to your spot, stand there, watch the ball be caught, and then go try to tackle somebody. You know, it's like 1,001, 1,002. Now we're in man. So who's my closest man? Go get him. And that sounds simplistic and silly even, but that's where you start from. And then you build off of it. But we have never even gotten there. For whatever reason.
When you said 1,000, I thought you were going to say it's like death by 1,000 paper cuts, which would have been apropos also when they start throwing the little dink and dunk on you, right?
Well, if they're going to dink and dunk, you got to make tackles in the open field. I mean, you know, you can't cover dink and dunks in zone regardless of how talented you are. But that makes them work the ball down the field. That gives your front four, or if you bring some blitz, the opportunity to get the hands in the air and get some balls batted at the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go into it if they want to dink and dunk. Our problem has been they're the equivalent of 5 and 7 step drops, even though they're starting in the shotgun. So, in other words, the play is taking 2 seconds or 2.5 seconds, and they're just standing in a spot waiting for the ball to be released instead of having some form of peripheral vision and know that, well, that line, that tight end is over to my right and he's crossing in front of me. Move up 2 steps and move 1 step to your right and be in a position to disrupt the play.
You make it sound very easy, Keith.
It's hard. It is not complicated, Tommy. It's not complicated, but it is hard to do.
Gotcha. I agree with your comment earlier that the effort has been not the issue. Yeah, I'm not saying you couldn't look at all three game tapes and find a play or two where guys are not competing as hard as you'd like them to, but generally speaking, it feels like the effort has been pretty good.
And by all accounts, practices have been good. I mean, back to your earlier point that, you know, there appeared to be a little frustration or disillusionment is too strong a word. But, you know, you could see Coach Norvell's mind spinning when he was asked those questions because he knows that these plays have been made in practice and hasn't quite figured out the solution as to why they're not being made in the game. You know, in one sense, that's a positive. At least the play can be made somewhere. Finding the way to have practice translate into the game, you know, normally that's not the issue. Normally you talk about kids that don't practice very well, but when the light comes on, they perform well in the game. This is a little different issue for whatever reason it appears.
Yeah, and it goes back to trusting that the coaches, they're not starting a guy based on not being able to do it in practice. Unless there's just zero options and they're choosing the, you know, the lesser of 2, 3, 4, 5 evils, however many you have at that position. But they're certainly not saying, well, he's gotten beat every day in practice, so let's put him back at corner. I mean, that's not the way that goes. If you switch it to the offensive side, it's sort of like the calls for Chubba Purdy right now. You got two quarterbacks. One of them, by the way, has another 2 years of eligibility left at FSU in Jordan Travis. So I think it's too early for that. I mean, if you're going to go that route, what does that say if you went that route?
Well, it says that you're giving up on this year and you're building for the future. And I still think this coaching staff thinks, and I do too, that there's some games that can be won this year. You know, when I know it was 40-something years ago, but when Coach Bowden got his hat handed to him by Miami in 1976 and then went out to Oklahoma and started, you know, seven freshmen and, you know, first-year or second-year sophomores, he was basically saying the 76 season is not our focus right now. We're focusing on the future. You could make that decision. If you're Coach Norvell, you could make that decision. But I don't think they're prepared to do that yet. And I wouldn't encourage them to do it.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think the time's right yet. And you risk well, look at all the guys that came in from the portal, many of whom just they're in their last year. You know, how do they react if you make that decision too? So I don't know. They get another chance on Saturday. Clearly, this is the portion of the schedule, if you're going to just base it on expectations, that you would look at as more winnable than some of the other games are. We know the back half of the schedule is more difficult. But thinking about the back half of the schedule or even next week against Syracuse does you no good when you're getting ready to play Louisville this week.
There's only one priority, and that's the name that's on the front of your jersey when you line up at 3:30 on Saturday, and it just happens to be Louisville that's the other team this week.
Keith, I am looking forward to catching up postgame a little bit earlier than we have the pretty much all season, which has been in the wee hours. This week it should be, you know, 9 o'clock-ish when you and I get together. So that's better.
So we'll only be an hour past my bedtime.
Yeah. Well, usually turn in when the sun sets, which I know with daylight savings time shift coming up in a month or so, you're going to be going to bed really early. Keith,
yeah,
I'll talk to you this
it's
weekend.
It's been a full moon of late, and that's got me confused.
He's Keith. I'm Tom. Thanks for tuning in to Front Row Noles.